thank God He loves me. Amen. Amen. Not just loved, loves. Amen. Thank God. Brother Steve got on that this morning a little bit. Not only did he did, but he does, thank God. Love us by His good grace. Amen and amen. All right, if you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8, if you will, this morning. I'm going to read from three different text places. I'm going to preach primarily from Matthew 8, but I'm going to compare them. You know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synopsis gospels or synoptic gospels because they compare so well. There's only one gospel that's a real gospel. Amen. But this is the story of Christ, and it's told. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell the same thing. John writes in a totally different perspective, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke record more of the same things together, and of course they're seen from three different perspectives as well. It's the same story, so I want to look at those if I can. First of all, starting in Matthew chapter number 8, then I'm going to be turning to Mark chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and put your finger there. Mark chapter number 1, Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1, and then Luke chapter 4. All right, I'll give you a moment to get those three things lined up. I've got little papers in my Bible holding that as well as the ribbon. Matthew 8, where I'll read first. Mark 1, I'll read next. And then Luke 4, I'll conclude with and then go back to Matthew. All right. Matthew chapter 8, reading only two verses. Verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter number 8, if you are there. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Now in Mark chapter number 1, three verses, verse number 29 through 31, Matthew 1, verse 29, I'm sorry, Mark 1, verse 29. "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." Look in Luke chapter number 4. Again, two verses, verse 38 and 39. So these three stories do not take a lot of verses. Five, six, seven total. Seven verses, two in Matthew, three in Mark, two in Luke. Verse 38, the Bible says, "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them." I want to try to preach this morning from these verses, as I said, primarily from Matthew's gospel, but comparing all of these. I want to preach on we must be ministered to before we can minister to. We got to get help before we can help others. And we see this in this lady's life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
Our Father, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, for your love for us.
Yes.
We certainly thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning.
Yes, Father, thank you.
Blessing my heart and being able to fellowship with the people of God.
Yes.
I pray that you reveal yourself to us this morning, that you bless us and bless those, Lord, that are unable to be with us.
Yes, Lord.
Help. Those, Lord, that are facing the trials and affliction in their bodies. I pray you touch and help and bless my wife.
Yes.
Shepherd's mother, Lord. And yeah. I pray for Miss Shepherd's daddy and others, Lord. And Brother Troy.
Yes.
And Miss Jennifer. Ask you to give grace and divine help. Bless the church and help us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you do for us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, all three of these scriptures tell that this woman, when she got touched, she got up and helped other people. That's interesting to me that
all three of them tell it a different way, but they all three come to the same conclusion that when this woman got help, she helped others. Amen. And so that's the thought that I've got before me this morning and thinking about this text. Back in Matthew chapter number 8, I want to point out three points, if I can, to you this morning. First of all, I want to show you the case that we see right here in front of us. I want to read these verses, verse 14 and 15 again. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, by the way, you notice Mark and Luke both call him Simon. Matthew calls him Peter. It's the same man. Our Lord gave him the name. He was Simon. He called him Simon Peter. And he is a rock among those disciples. Not the rock that the church is built on. Amen. No, the Catholic Church claims to be built on Peter. They're not even built on Peter. They're built on sinking sand. Amen. No church built on Peter. Peter is just a disciple. Amen. Although we are built, the church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. But it's that belief that Peter made mention of. So Matthew calls him Peter. Let's just look back. Verse number 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, the case that I see before me here is that Peter's wife's mother is sick of a fever. This could very well have been a common sickness, I don't know. But yet it caught our Lord's attention. Now, I'm glad to say that although sin is a common thing, our Lord is interested in sinners. Even common sinners.
Right.
You don't have to be some kind of big sinner for him to be interested in you. He's interested in big and small and in between sinners. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many of the lost is he seeking to save? All that are lost. That's right. And so thank God that he is. This was a sickness. I don't know the severity of it. I'll say more about that in a moment. But I will say that he took notice of her sickness, no matter how severe that it was. This is at the beginning of the ministry of our Lord, the early stages of his ministry, when his fame is spreading abroad. Matter of fact, it says it right in the verses that we read before this. His fame was spreading abroad. People were flocking to hear him, and it seemed as if he's growing in great popularity among the nation of Israel. He has been healing numerous diseases up until this point, and so it would be no surprise that he would touch this woman and heal her of her disease. It just seems natural that he would do that. And I want to say to you that although Jesus has saved sinners down through the ages, he's still interested today in saving sinners. Amen. Still interested in that. Now, before I go too far into my message, I want to show you some things in some points of interest in this case. First of all, I want you to notice that Peter had a house. All three of these texts says that this house belonged to Peter. Now, look at verse 14 of Matthew 8. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house. So he owned the house. And this house is in Capernaum. Amen. Now, that's found in Mark chapter number 1. Let me just turn over there. I should have held my place. Mark chapter number 1. And verse number 29, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But if you'd read before that, you would see that they're in this city of Capernaum. Now, here's what's interesting to me. It's also found in Luke. You'll see it as well, but I'm not going to turn there. Peter had a house. This house is in Capernaum, but that's not where Peter's from. Peter didn't originate from Capernaum. Peter didn't live, when our Lord came to him, didn't live in Capernaum. He lived in Bethsaida, the Bible says. Matter of fact, if you want to turn, you can see that in John chapter number 1 and verse number 44. John chapter 1, the Bible says this. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. This is the first calling of the disciples, and you know the story there. He calls Philip, and he says Philip was of Bethsaida. Bethsaida, known as the city of Andrew and Peter. But it appears that our Lord's walking by the Sea of Galilee and he's gathering his disciples and he's going about his ministry. But as his ministry progressed and as he moved in his ministry, he made Capernaum his base. It appears to me that Peter must have sold out maybe in Bethsaida, or maybe had the funds to do so without selling out, moved to Capernaum and bought a house in Capernaum. A lot of times when we're reading through our Bible, just reading it, we just look at these men and they're all indigents. I mean, they're all just moving around here and there. Nobody has a home. But the Bible says Peter had a house, and he had a house in Capernaum. Now, it's interesting to me that in Mark, when you read that, they're in Capernaum. They go into Peter's house. Later, they go into other cities around Galilee. In Mark chapter number 2, they come back to Capernaum. And the Bible says when the Lord had entered into the house, it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. You remember that story? And they climbed upon the roof and tore the roof off the house and let the man down. Whose house was that? Apparently it's Peter's house. Because the only house he'd been in before in Capernaum was Peter's house. And now it says they're back in Capernaum. It just says when he was entered into the house. And so it's amazing to me when I realized that. And Peter's the kind of fellow, I don't know if you want to be tearing shingles off of Peter's house or not. But it does look to me like that Peter had bought the house for the purpose of serving the Lord, and that he was there and the house was at least open for the service of the Lord, because the Lord was there when he healed Peter's mother. He didn't go there to heal her. He went there and the Bible says they told her about him and he healed her while he was there. He saw her there and healed her while he was there. But he was there as maybe a rest place, maybe there as a place of ministry. And then he comes back again and uses that again as a place of ministry. That's interesting to me that Peter had a house. And that house was in Capernaum. Now, it also seems clear to me that that house may not have belonged to Peter alone. Because it says in Mark's gospel that he went into the house of Peter and Andrew. And it says with James and John. Now, it's possible that Andrew and Peter, being brothers, inherited that house. Or that they bought it together, or it's even possible that Peter, James, and John and Andrew bought the house together. They've been in business together, fishing alongside one another, and that they had come there and moved into the house. That's what it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So it looks like this house has been maybe co-owned with Peter and his brother Andrew, possibly even with these other disciples. Now, why are you saying that? That makes it more interesting. This house is only mentioned this particular time in the Scriptures. It's only mentioned in the healing of his mother. And then again, if that is his house that they tore the roof off, and I do believe it, if you just read the Bible chronologically and look at it that way, that's what it looks like that it is. That it's only mentioned one other time. There's one of the disciples that asked our Lord. He said, Lord, we have left all. We have forsaken all to follow thee. You remember that? And that was Simon. You remember the first thing he said? We've forsaken houses and land. That's what he said. And our Lord said, if you've left houses and land, mothers and fathers, and he goes through all that, then he said, you'll have that restored. He said, you'll have a hundredfold, both in this life and in the life to come. And so apparently Peter had moved one time for the Lord, and later maybe even gives up the house and moves on to just keep serving the Lord and following the Lord. That shows me some dedication in these men's lives, that if you don't read it and read in between the lines, maybe you'll miss some of that. Amen. So I'm interested in the fact that he had a house and that house was in Capernaum. Now here's another interesting thing. Peter also had a wife. That sort of messes with the Catholic Church. They said he's the first pope. Not only can popes not have wives, even common priests can't have wives. Amen. Now I know that through the centuries, popes have had secret wives. They've had mistresses and they've had little boys and girls too, by the way. Perverts. Amen. But it still goes against their doctrine and their religion. But here in the Scripture, Peter's wife's mother is sick. Now, the Bible never mentions what his wife's name is. I don't know who his wife was, but he wouldn't be too smart if he got a mother-in-law and didn't get a wife. Nobody bargains for that. Amen. Amen. You might get a wife and hope not to get a mother-in-law, but you're going to get one more than likely. But you ain't going to take a mother-in-law and not get a wife in the bargain. Amen. So, amen. But Peter had this, and he had a wife. Matter of fact, Paul mentions that 1 Corinthians 9:5. He said, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles, as the brethren of our Lord and Cephas? That's talking about Peter. So Paul's talking about the fact that Peter had a wife. Amen. By the way, the Bible says it's doctrines of devils that's forbidding to marry. Amen. That's the King James Bible. Paul said it to Timothy in his writing to Timothy there that it's doctrines of devils. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why maybe there's so many perverts, as they have perverted the doctrine of God. Amen. Amen. Well, so I see that Peter had a house, Peter had a wife. And thirdly, Jesus healed Peter's wife's mother. Now, some believe that this woman may have been very old, that that's why Peter had a house. None of the others seemingly had a house. Maybe Peter had a house in order to take care of his mother-in-law. Maybe he had a house in order to, you know, she being old and infirm, that he and his wife be taking care of her, and Peter still yet serving the Lord through all that. But can I say this, and I'm moving along in my thought, if this woman was old and infirm, our Lord didn't overlook her just because she was near to passing. Just because her life is gone and, I mean, she's more behind her than there is in front of her. Amen. Just because her health is gone, our Lord didn't overlook her, but our Lord was interested in this woman. Matter of fact, He cared for her and He healed her. Amen. I'm glad our Lord does not overlook people. Amen. Amen. He does not overlook people or reject people simply because of their age or simply because of their inability. Rather, our Lord is glad to help the aged. Amen. And He's glad to help those that are infirm. Amen. Now, look with me in Mark chapter 1, that text that it says. I want to read that to you again. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon, don't you notice that phrase? And anon, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So they've been in the synagogue, they've been busy teaching and preaching the Word of God, and they come to the house perhaps for rest, perhaps they come for a meal. And they come back to the house and they're busy. They're busy about a lot of things. You remember other texts, our Lord would be speaking in parables, and when they get in a house, then the disciples would ask Him, what do these parables mean? And so our Lord was busy preaching and teaching publicly, but He is also busy teaching and preaching privately in the home to these men. So He's very busy, and they're busy as well, going about their business. But somewhere along the line, somebody, the Bible says anon, that means eventually, they got around to telling her about her sickness, or telling him about her sickness. So it seems to me that they had been so busy with other things, maybe it had slipped their mind to mention this old lady, and to mention her need, or whatever the purpose was. They didn't mention it, and they eventually got around to mentioning that this older lady was sick. But Jesus took interest in the case. Amen. Is it not true that sometimes we get so busy? Maybe we're busy serving the Lord. Maybe we're busy serving others. Maybe we're busy in our family. But we get busy, and maybe we pray about a lot of things, but we fail to pray about something that does mean something to us. It is important to us, but We put it on the back burner, so to speak, and we've left it simmering there and we forgot about it. I'm glad God, our Lord, is interested. Even if we take a while to get around to finally mention it, I'm glad He's interested in helping us with our troubles. Amen. Even though we seem too busy to mention it to Him, He's not too busy to take notice. Amen. Amen. He's not too busy to help us, even when we forget to pray as we ought to. He's interested in their needs. And then Luke says it in an even different way. I want to show you again Luke 4 and verse number 38 and 39. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. You see that? Not just a fever. Here it says it's a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So it seems that, according to Luke, somebody at least thought this was a drastic need. Maybe it wasn't Peter. Maybe, again, Peter's pretty much one-track minded. I see that many times in his life and in his ministry. He's got one train of thought going, and he doesn't see the big picture because he's so focused on the little thing. Maybe it was his wife that said, "Peter, did you tell the Lord about my mother? My mother's sick." But, and the Bible says there in Luke, they besought him. It looks like maybe somebody said, "Oh, Lord, would you help us? Lord, could you help my mama? Lord, could you help my grandmother?" However that the case was, "Lord, this lady has a need," and somebody besought her for them. Here's what I'm saying about that. I'm glad our Lord knows our troubles, whether we mention it or not. But if it's a burden to us, I'm glad it's a burden to Him. Amen. If it's a care on our shoulders, it's a care on His shoulders. Amen. And thank God that He was concerned, amen, about her needs and her infirmities. I believe that suits our case more. It fits our case a little bit more. That most of us have family members that we're concerned. They're not concerned. Maybe they're in another place. They're not even in this room with us right now, but we're concerned about them. I look at this lady. I think she's probably in a back room somewhere, laying in the bed with the door shut, or at least the curtain drawn, if they just had a curtain over the door. But she's back there secluded. She's not in there with them. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got loved ones that are not here, and they won't come here. But by the grace of God, we can keep on praying, and we can besiege our Lord. We can ask our Lord. We can seek help from our Lord, and He can heal them. Amen. Amen. And then back in our original text in Matthew chapter 8, again it says that when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, verse 14, he saw Peter's wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Matthew doesn't even mention anybody mentioned it. Luke says, or Mark says they finally got around to mention it. Luke said somebody was beseeching him. Matthew didn't hear anybody beseeching him. Matthew apparently didn't notice that they eventually got around to tell him. He just said, "Our Lord took notice." Thank God. Amen. Even when we forget to pray, even when we're not concerned enough to pray, amen, He is concerned and He sees the need. Amen. Thank God that He does. He is aware of things we're maybe not aware of. Or I'll say this. There's some things you just won't mention in prayer meeting out loud to others. Amen? There's some, you may have a need. It may be a physical need, or it may be a family need. It may be a financial need. It may be a spiritual need that is so drastic, that is so personal, that is so intimate, that you won't name it out front in front of everybody. But I'm glad our Lord sees what's in secret. Amen. I'm glad our Lord knows what's hidden in the back room. Maybe we're ashamed to admit it. Maybe we'd rather He didn't even bring it up and He didn't notice it. But He does notice. Thank God He does. What our needs are, even when they're secluded off in another section of the building. Amen. Thank God. So I see the case. Then let me say number two, I see the cure. Our Lord touched this woman. Now, it's no surprise that Jesus could heal this woman, and to me, no surprise that He would. That's just the kind of fellow that He is. Amen. He's interested in helping folks with a need. But I want you to notice how He healed her. Again, these three men give three different depictions of how He healed them. First of all, Matthew 8:15 says that He touched her hand and healed her. Amen. I'll say, I'm glad our Lord's got a healing touch. Amen. Amen. If You might have a loved one that is constrained by sin. It is in bondage to sin. Our Lord has a delivering touch. Amen. He has the ability. And by the way, He's not constrained. He's not restrained. His arm is not shortened that He cannot save. Amen. He can still reach down to where they are and touch them. And so I'm glad that He can. Amen. Then Mark chapter 1 verse 21 says that He took her by the hand. Now Matthew said He touched her hand. He said He took her by the hand and lifted her up. Amen. That's what He did for me when He saved me. Amen. He lifted me up. Amen. I'm glad that He did. We sing that song that love lifted me. Amen. Didn't just find me where I was. Didn't just soothe my conscience there. But love got me on my feet. Love got me in an upright position, thank God. And I'm glad Jesus lifted me out of the sin and bondage I was in. Amen. Again, we've got loved ones that are weighted down with sin. We've got loved ones that are bowed down with their lifestyle. Maybe they've not yet met the Lord. Thank God He can still touch them. He can still take them by the hand. And He can still lift them out of the sin and depravity that they're in. Amen. And then Luke says it in Luke chapter number 4 and verse 39. Now I want you to see this. He says He stood over her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Amen. It doesn't mention that He touched her, but just that He talked to her. Actually, it doesn't mention that He talked to her. He spoke to the problem. Amen. I'm glad I've got a God that can speak to the need. Amen. You ever been to the doctor and they talk about a lot of things? They never talk about what you need. Amen. Seems like they go around, they tell you you need to lose weight, they tell you you need to quit this and you need to start that, and all these, but they don't really get to right where your need is. Amen. Maybe you've been to a psychiatrist, or maybe you've called the hotline and told them you've got a problem, and you try to talk, and they talk all around. Never really get to what your need is. I'm glad my God is able to pinpoint the problem. And my God, He don't even have to talk to me. He can speak to the need. Amen. He can do what needs to be done. He can rebuke the disease. Amen. That's what He did at Calvary. He rebuked the devil. Amen. That's what the Bible says. He says, rebuke the devil, he'll flee from you. That's what the Bible said. I'm glad God rebuked the devil on Calvary. And that day when I bowed and called on the Lord and asked Him to save me, God rebuked the sin that was in my life. And God made it flee as far as the east is from the west from me. Amen. He's able to rebuke the disease of sin. I don't know what your loved one is. I don't know who you're praying for, what the case is. Some cases I do. But I know this, I know it's possible that it's a boy or a dad or a loved one, a relative that's out drinking and doping. Maybe they're running with women, I don't know. And they're enjoying that lifestyle, by the way. They're not interested in stopping that lifestyle now. But when prayer reaches heaven and God reaches down, God can rebuke that disease of sin that's in their life and make them sick of alcohol and sick of the drugs and sick of the lifestyle they're living. Amen. God can make them start looking for some help. Amen. Amen. I don't know if how many of you heard the preacher that preached in the camp meeting this week, but on Thursday night he told about a story. He told about some visitors that's been coming. And he said it in a funny way. He said this young man got saved. And he said he's not been saved long enough to know that you're not supposed to bring visitors to church. And he said he don't know yet that you're not supposed to bring them and set them on the front row. But he said he's bringing them. And he's a soldier and he's been bringing some soldiers and different people. And he said he brought this couple. I don't know if they're a together couple, but a young man and a young woman that he spoke about specifically. That came, and he said the young woman is a Wiccan. In other words, she's in witchcraft. And sitting on the front row, and he said he preached, and he said that Sunday morning when he was preaching, it was a week ago, he said he was preaching on Easter Sunday morning, and he said he felt like God was dealing with that young lady, and he said he's praying and asking God to help her. He said some people got saved in the service. He is standing, and as he's walking out, he said that that the young man came first, and the young man said to him, he said, "Preacher, that speech you made today really said something to me." And said he kept talking about that speech. He didn't realize that's preaching. It ain't speech, it's preaching. Amen. Most of them ain't even proper English. How can he call it a speech? But that fellow said, "You know, that really got to me." And he said, "Well, would you like to talk with me?" And the fellow said, "Sure, you can call me and we'll talk." Well, he said, then out came the young lady, and she was real short and to the point. And he said, did anything happen to you today? And she said, "Nope." He said, "Will you be back? Will you be coming back?" And she said, "We'll see." And she shut him down right there on the spot. Well, he said, Wednesday, of course, he was there at the meeting, and so he had an assistant preaching for him. And on Thursday, they got together on the phone. That fellow said, "Preacher," said, "that young lady came to church with a Bible. And said, she said that all day Monday," said she'd went to the beach, they'd in Orlando, Florida, said all day Monday, she'd walked the beach troubled inside and didn't know what was troubling her. Amen. He said that young lady said as she was walking on that beach and the troubles come, said finally, she said, "God, if you can give me a new life, I want it." Amen. And said, so she went to Barnes and Noble and asked them for a thing called a Bible. Amen. That's the wrong place to go looking for a real Bible. Amen. And I don't know what she got, but she got what she thought was a Bible. And she came in and told that young man that was preaching. She said, "I've been reading today in a book called 1 John. Amen. That's a good place to start. Amen. And it just so happened, you know how coincidences are, that he was preaching that day from 1 John. Amen. And he told the preacher, he said, "Preacher," she asked me after the service, she said, "What do I need to do to be baptized?" Now, the pastor said, "We got to talk to her about her salvation." And he said, "Preacher, the thing she told me," he said, "I really believe that girl got saved by the grace of God." A Wiccan. How in the world can that happen? Because we got a God bigger than the devil is. Amen. We got a God that's able to do whatsoever he wants to do. Amen. Whensoever he wants to do it with. Whosoever. Amen. Thank God. But somebody's praying for that girl. Somebody invested some seed and some time, amen, in trying to win that. My point is this. I don't know how bad your person is. I don't know how bad they're... By the way, she's probably enjoying her lifestyle before. Amen. God can get them sick of the life they're living. Amen. So he can rebuke the disease and give them life. He raised this woman up. Amen. Now, here's the last thing, and I'll close with this. We talked about the case. We talked about the cure. I want you to notice the counsel. There's a lesson here for us to learn. All three of these, I showed you the three ones and the differences. But I want you to notice what's the same in all three stories. In all three of these stories, you've got a woman that's sick. You've got a Lord that's a healer. And you've got a woman that once she is healed, she ministers to others. She got up off of her bed and went to helping them. Look in Matthew chapter number 8. We'll look there. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 15. "And he touched her hand and the fever left her." And there's not even a period there, just a colon. "And she arose and ministered unto them." By the way, that colon tells you that what's on one side has something to do with what's on the other side. It could be two standalone sentences, but they're connected. There is something of likeness there. So she got healed, and because she got healed, she got up and did something for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Mark said this. Mark said in 1:31, he said, she ministered unto them. And then Luke said, immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And then Matthew says, and she arose and ministered unto them. The point is, she got help and she wanted to help somebody else. Amen. How many times have you seen somebody get saved by the grace of God? And in the same testimony, they say, "The Lord saved me and I want Him to save somebody else." Matter of fact, we had that happen right here not too long ago. Right. Amen. "The Lord just saved me and I want Him to save somebody else." You know why? Because when you get help, you want to help somebody else. It's as natural as this. You ladies go to the grocery store and they got a deal, you'll tell people you don't even like that they got a deal. Amen. You'll tell people with plenty of money, they don't need to save money. You'll tell them because you got help, you want them to get help. Amen. That is right. You can be reading your Bible, God give you a nugget out of it. Amen. You know what you'll do? You'll tell somebody. Amen. It's natural that you tell somebody. Here's this woman. Now here, I want you to use your imagination just a minute. I'm not going to go way off, but I want you to think about this. Here's a woman that's been sick. She is Peter's wife's mother. Somewhere along, Peter and Andrew had been disciples of John. Right? They had a religious upbringing to some degree. Peter's married. I imagine that he's got a religious wife, and perhaps her parents were religious. These are Jews, by the way. They're pretty steeped in their religion. Here's this woman, and she's seen the mighty works of the Lord. I mean, her son-in-law has done sold out his fishing, and he's going to follow God with his whole heart. Her son-in-law is going to be the man that stands on Pentecost and preach when thousands get saved. Her son-in-law is this man that is going to give up houses and lands and everything to follow the Lord. I imagine she's laying on that bed saying, I wish I could do a little something. He's right here in the house. He's right here in among us, and I'd like to be able to do something for the Lord. And I tell you, if there's a desire in your heart to do something for God, just hold on. He'll use you. Amen. It may be that you feel like there's things restraining you. If you'll call out to Him, amen, maybe if nobody in the next room thinks to call out to Him, if you'll call out to Him, He'll hear that cry. Amen. And He'll come by your side and touch you. Amen. Help you. And just as He did this woman, you can get up and do something to serve God for His glory and honor. Amen. I say this last. I believe this is a good sign of real conversion.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, this crowd that says that they got saved, but they don't even go to church on Sunday. I mean, it ain't even enough to get them out of bed to go to the house of God. I got problems with that. This crowd that they say they get saved, but it ain't even enough to get them out of their sinful lifestyle. I got problems with that. But somebody that it causes a 180 degree turn, I mean, they have gone from being one way to another way. They have turned from darkness unto light. Amen. They have left death and entered into life. They say, I once was blind, but now I see. They're going to serve God. They're going to the house of God. They're getting in their Bible. They're being a witness. They're calling on God and praying for others. I mean, there's a good sign of real conversion. Amen. Now, it is interesting to me that all three of these men mention that point. As I said, they see other things different. Maybe Matthew didn't hear anybody point out this woman. He just saw the Lord saw her. I don't know what the different cases, but they saw things in a different... But all three of them saw the fact that this woman, when she got help, got up and helped others. You know why I believe? Because if any man be in Christ, they will be a new creature. Everybody will be able to see that. Amen. Amen. There'll be a change in their life when they get help from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I say this. It's an important lesson for us to learn. Is that before we can minister for the Lord, we got to be ministered to by the Lord. I've heard men say that they had been preaching for years and then God saved them. And they just kept right on preaching. Some of them pastoring. Kept right on pastoring. My problem with this is this. I don't believe God calls lost men. Amen. Some people say, well, God called Moses at the burning bush. Yeah, but Moses had already chose to suffer affliction with the righteous rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 40 years before that, by the way, Moses already made his choice. Amen. God had already called Moses from a life of Egyptian bondage. God had already called Moses from a life of Egyptian dynasty and Egyptian luxury. He'd already called him from that. And he is an outcast on the backside of the desert when God finally called him, if you want to say, to preach. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying before we can ever get help, or before we can ever be a help, we got to get some help. Amen. Once we get help, then we can serve God and be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Amen. The parent, I'll say it this way, the parent needs to surrender if they want their children to surrender. Something's got to happen before. And that surrender that we do may prompt somebody else. I'm just, matter of fact, you read in the scripture that man that came to the Lord and he had that son with a demon or devils. He's cast himself in the fire and the disciples couldn't cast it out. The daddy had to get help before the boy could get help. You go through the scripture all over. The woman with the daughter, same thing. She got some help before her daughter got any help. I'm saying there's a process that God's got. Before we can minister to, we've got to be ministered to. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, speak to somebody's heart while they come with a song. If you need to come and call on the Lord, maybe. Maybe it's to pray for somebody. Maybe it's somebody in the back room. It's on the back burner and you forgot about it. And God reminded you, you need to pray for them. Maybe you need to pray for a need that you've been ashamed to admit before. God said, you need to bring that up. I see it. I want to deal with it. If that's the case, you ought to deal with it. It might be that it's a need that you see and you're concerned. And they're not in this room. But you want the long hand of God to reach to where they are. To rescue them. Maybe that's the case. Or maybe it's not my father nor my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Is the Lord speaking to your heart this morning? You need to do business with the Lord. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you've given us as we tried to preach. Father, I pray, dear God, you take the words, put your power behind it, and accomplish your will. Lord, I pray you'd help those loved ones that we have. We want to see them serving God. We don't want them just in another place away from the presence of the Lord. We want them to enjoy what we enjoy. Lord, I pray you'd help them. Some of them so far, we can't reach them. But you can. I pray, dear God, you'd reach to where they are. Deal with them. Draw them. Lord, help us now to get what we need from Thee. We can help somebody else. Have your way, I pray, in this invitation time. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. While we sing, if you need to come, of course, the altar's open. Page 41, while we sing, would you come?